A great attendance on a Wednesday night in the middle of summer when it's so hot. It's just hot. Amen. It is a cooker out there. And if you're visiting with us, so glad to have you with us this evening. And boy, I'm telling you, you just come to a church that's, we got a lot going on. It's a busy time of year. We got VBS coming. As soon as Vacation Bible School is over, we're going to be in Bible. As soon as revival is over, school's going to be starting. And in the midst of that, the school is all taken apart, and we're trying to put it back together again. So if we look like we're chasing our tail and we're just a little tired, that'd be why. But we're going to come September, it's all going to be good. Amen? We're going to be caught up and ready. If you were expecting a business meeting tonight, this would be the scheduled appropriate time for that. But we are behind in our record keeping when it comes to our finances. And so instead of me getting up and telling you it'll be another quarter before you see some financials, we're going to see some financials next time we have a business meeting. So that is in process and in work. And so I think we're about three quarters behind. So there's a lot that goes on here between the school and the church. We have a volunteer staff that handles that, record keeping and all of that stuff. And these folks have full-time plus jobs, plus family life, plus grandkids, plus this and that. So we're going to get it all together. We're working to get that together, and I hope to have you some numbers to look at here in another month. And you pray for that. Pray that schedules would allow it, and everything would come together. And I know what you're thinking if you've never done finances. Well, don't they just sit in front of a computer and punch that in? A little bit more to it than that. You can ask my wife about it or some of these other folks that do finance stuff. It takes a little more than that to get it done. Okay? Amen? All right, very good. You have your Bibles tonight. Let's take them and turn to Genesis chapter 30. Genesis chapter 30. And I do have one more announcement before I almost forget. Brother Lee gave me this announcement. We've got some new doors for the Christian school. How many doors we got over there, brother? 12. We got 12, and we need to have a door unloading party as soon as church is over tonight. Amen? So if you're a strong man, we need you over with you in front of the school after church, right? Amen. All right. And are they metal doors? All right, so they're heavy. No, very good. All right, so we need to get that done. Genesis chapter 30, we are going to be in, beginning in verse 14, and we'll take it through verse 24. Let's all stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God tonight. Genesis chapter 30, beginning in verse 14 through 24. If you found it, would you say, glory, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah.
Here we go. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest, and found mandrakes in the field, and brought them unto his mother Leah. And Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. She said unto her, is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband, and wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him, and said, thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes. He lay with her that night. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived, and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, God, Elohim here, God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband, and she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again, and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun. And afterward she bare a daughter, and called her name Dinah. Verse 22. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her, and opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son, and said, God hath taken away my reproach. She called his name Joseph, and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, And Lord, as we continue the saga of this lengthy passage concerning these 12 offspring of Jacob, I pray that you open our hearts and our minds to the lessons, to the truth contained herein, Lord, and help us come away with something besides just facts and details, Lord. Help us come away with something that we can apply to our hearts and to our lives. Lord, each and every person is come to worship you tonight, to seek you tonight, to be in fellowship with other Christians, with other believers. And Father, we pray this is a time of encouragement, a time of learning, a time of challenge, Lord, and perhaps even a time of repentance and getting right with you. We praise you and we thank you, Lord. If there's anyone here among us tonight that needs to receive you as their personal Lord and Savior, we pray that as we go through the Word, we talk about this story, this truth, that the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the encouragement of God would fall upon that person in such a way that they would receive Jesus tonight and call Him Savior. We love you tonight, Lord, for saving us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in your midst, to be with one another once again. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Talking about his family life, this is Jacob, right? And here he is, this lengthy section beginning in chapter 29, verse 32, and going all the way to chapter 30, verse 24. We finish it tonight. Amen. 12 children down, right? Had 12 kids. That's a lot. That's a quiverful for sure. Amen. Anybody from a family of 12? Anybody here? Family of 10. All right, got a family. How many? 11 kids. All right, anybody top that? She was in a family of 11. Drama-filled excitement? Drama-filled excitement? Fun, okay. Fun. For y'all, amen, maybe the parents. Neighbors hated you. Wow. There comes them 11 kids again. Right. Well, this lengthy section records it all the way down to the birth of Joseph. This passage is filled with drama. It's filled with intrigue. It is the record about the difficulty of Jacob's home life. I mean, really, when you get down to it, it is the difficulty of his home life. Jacob's home life is so difficult because why, Pastor? He has married two sisters. Go figure, right? Marrying two sisters, that you would have some difficulty. Two women battling, two women scheming, two women maneuvering for this one man's affections. Jacob, torn between his devotion to Rachel and his desire for sons, was pulled in numerous directions. I mean, they throw their handmaidens in there. I mean, it is crazy. We've covered the first four sons. It began with Reuben, Simeon. Leah's third son was Levi, and then fourthly, Judah. These first four sons revealed Leah's salvation. When we go through this, and she calls God Jehovah, she calls God by His covenant name, she is expressing faith there. These first four sons revealed Leah's salvation, her peace in and praise for the covenant God of her husband Jacob. Now, we came to Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and then came Asher, the child of sudden delight. The second four sons, when we got into that revealed Leah's spiritual backsliddenness. Sometimes when we get saved, sometimes when it happens for us, sometimes when we get the tap from the Holy Spirit and we say, yes, Lord, and we say, come in and save me, forgive me of my sins, and all of these things, and we go through the exercise of joining the church and getting baptized. Hey, it's great. It's good. Everything's going our way. But then sometimes what happens to us? We fall away. We don't lose our salvation necessarily, but we fall spiritually, right? And that's what Leah had done when we talk about the second four sons, the second set of four, right? Leah's spiritual fall. Right? That's what happens. And we've got Rachel in this second set of four. What is she doing? She's twisting the law. Hey, you know what? I'm going to rush this up. If I can't bear any children, well, here's my handmaiden. And just, you know, make a baby with her. And then Leah sees that. Well, two can play at this game. Here's my handmaiden, Jacob. Make a baby with... And so we got all of this. I mean, it is It is sin to the second power. It's sin squared is what it is. And that's what we see in the second four of children that come along, second set of sons. We see how infectious sin can be, how far Leah has fallen, and what heights or depths Rachel will descend to in getting her way. With the next four children, three sons, and we finally have a daughter. Say amen, ladies. We finally have a daughter in this deal. With the next four children, three sons and a daughter, everything kind of comes full circle. Praise the Lord. I mean, everything kind of just evens out here at the end. This next child, he's the ninth in Jacob's children. His name is Issachar. He is the child of snappish dislike. Snappish dislike. Look at verse 14 with me. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes." She said unto her, "Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? And wouldst thou take away my son's mandrakes also?" And Rachel said, "Therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes." And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, "Thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes." And he lay with her that night. Verse 17, God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, "God hath given me my hire, and because I have given my maiden to my husband," and she called his name Issachar. The circumstances surrounding Issachar's birth were not happy, were they? Far from it. The family quarrel between the two sisters reached its all-time low. Man, they are bartering and dealing and all kinds of stuff leading to the birth of Issachar's eventual birth. Evidently, the birth of Asher had not brought the happiness for which Leah craved. Rachel still held complete sway over Jacob's heart. Now, when we read this, the Bible does not tell us how old Reuben was when he brought home the mandrakes. Some scholars have said he's as young as four. Other scholars say he's as old as eight. I'm somewhere in the middle. The kid's five or six or seven, I don't know. But there he is. He's out there at the time of wheat harvest, and he sees this pretty flower that he's going to pick for his mama. He begins to pick it, and as he does, he pulls it up, root and all. And that's the mandrake. The Bible doesn't go into detail about what they are. If you study the culture, you find out what mandrakes are. They're a plant. They're a flowering fruit. They are abundant in the region of Israel. Mandrakes have dark leaves. They have a carrot-like root on them. They have white and reddish blossoms. They're pleasant to look at if you see one in the field. They have a very sweet smell and a fruit-like apple on them. The root, you can take the root, and it's not, you know, you see a carrot root, and it's just one shot. But these mandrakes, they kind of fingered off, and you could take a mandrake, and you could arrange it in such a way, it actually looked like a figurine of a man, you know, the two arms and the legs and everything. And so it came with this fruit to it, and they called them love apples because that's basically what mandrake means in the Hebrew language. People of this time and culture, they thought that the plant could excite passion, could promote fruitfulness in a barren woman. They didn't have all these experimental drugs, and you couldn't go to the OBGYN, and you couldn't get all this and that, and go here and see that, and do this specialist, and all this rigmarole. They just went and found love apples if they were having difficulty conceiving children. So that's what they would do. This plant was often referred to as love apples. So here we see Rachel. And what is Rachel? Rachel is the epitome. Rachel is the picture. Rachel is the illustration of what? Impatience. And she's waited a while. And she's in competition with her sister. and her sisters had children. And here she is. She's going to try to pull a fast one and get her sister's son's mandrakes. And she just has it in her mind that she is going to get pregnant because of it. I mean, she is scheming, she is working, she is impatient, she is taking matters into her own hands. Maybe some love apples would help, but the fleshly idea did what? What did it do? Oh, man. Big time, didn't it? Right. Doesn't take a theological degree to figure that out by reading the passage, does it? Keen sense of the obvious tells you that it backfired. Backfired big time. The fleshly idea worked backwards. Far from making Rachel fruitful, it was Leah who once more began to have sons. And what were sons back in that day? Important. What were sons back in that day? Gave you status in the community. What were sons back in that day? Allowed you to further whatever trade you had. What were sons back in that day? They were prestigious. And here Leah is having boys again. Notice Leah does not acknowledge God, probably, or she does acknowledge God, probably wanting everyone to know that the mandrakes had no part in her new fruitfulness. Look, I'm pregnant again. And the mandrakes went to my sister. Leah still makes a dig at her sister by incorporating the meaning of hire into the baby's name. Leah was still recovering the spiritual ground she had lost. She called God Elohim there. When you see the reading of God there in that passage, G-O-D, that's Elohim. And she never again, in the context here, rises to the spiritual height of praise in calling God His covenant name. So there's Issachar. Then along came the tenth son, Zebulun, the child of strong desire. Strong desire. Look at 19 and 20 with me. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob, the sixth son. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me because I have borne him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun. Zebulun. There he is. Despite Leah's declaration of victory, did Jacob come home to Leah? Did he finally choose Leah over Rachel? No. Despite Leah's declaration of victory, she never persuaded Jacob to come and live permanently with her. It's kind of sad in a sense, but there's kind of a footnote to the story. When God brings His Son, gives His Son, when God sends His Son, Jesus Christ, to be born, Jesus grows up as a boy. Jesus grows up as a young man. Jesus spends the majority of His life in a little town called what? Starts with an N. Nazareth. Guess where it's located at? You look on a map. It's in the tribal territory of the son Zebulun. That's where it's at. Right? God honors her desires. It takes a while, but God finally meets them. Amen? Amen. Then comes a change. Oh, there's a little girl. There's a little girl. Dinah, the child of silent dignity. Look at verse 21. And afterwards, she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. Well, aren't you going to elaborate just a little bit on that? Aren't you going to talk about the birth like you have with some of the sons? Aren't you going to acknowledge God? Elohim? Jehovah? She doesn't do that, does she? Verse 21, there it is. I mean, that's all it said. And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. Dinah. Wow. Now, she's special in the sense that there are other passages further on into Genesis that allude to the fact that Jacob had other daughters. Thine is the only one that is named out of them. Her name means the same as that of Dan, judge or vindicator. Possibly the name was meant to be another slap at poor childless Rachel. Leah said nothing at all about the actual birth of the girl. It's just one sentence. It's one verse. She took it in stride with silent dignity. Dinah was the last child she had, the seventh. There's no more said about her children. Finally, we come to the 12th. At long last, here comes our boy with a coat of many colors being born. Joseph, the child of sweet devotion. Look at verses 22 through 24. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son, and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, oh, notice what she says. She says, the Lord shall add to me another son. It finally happens for Rachel. Rachel finally is delivered naturally. She's finally delivered spiritually. She finally delivers. She has a boy, Joseph. And she acknowledges God not just once. She calls him Elohim once, but she also calls God Jehovah, his covenant name. That's an expression, again, of faith. Rachel attained the spiritual plateau from which Leah had descended after the birth of Judah and after her carnal squabbling in the matter of the maids and the mandrakes. Rachel climbed even higher, for in the birth of Joseph, her faith reached out for more, and so the Lord, and look, notice what she says, second half of verse 24, the Lord shall add to me another son. And the Lord did add to Rachel another son. His name is Benjamin. That's right. And he is still to come. 12 children, 11 boys, one girl. What are the odds? What are the odds? What are some lessons that we can take out of? What are some lessons that we can end with on these 12 kids? What do you think? Anybody? Lessons. Trust God, okay. Anything else? Trust God? Patience? What else? Obedience? What else? God's timing's the right time. Amen. Have you ever thought of these people as saved? Not the way they were acting, but boy, we got plenty of saved folks acting like that. Amen? But have you ever considered them saved? Leah and Rachel? I mean, I think you'll see them one day. Call on God, Jacob. Or they call on God, Jehovah. Referring to him as covenant name. Right? Amen? What else? What else is in here that we can say? What else? Faith? Do we see the sinfulness of humanity here? Right? Sinfulness of humanity? The backslidden? Depravity of the human heart? Coveting? Yeah. We see that. And in the midst of this is what? Is the gospel message. The gospel message going through it. going through it. Despite our sin, despite our shortcomings, despite our covetousness, despite our disobedience, despite our backbiting, despite our disunity, despite all of this stuff, Jesus still wins in the end. Amen? God still gets His way, right? The gospel goes through these folks. The gospel message goes through this patriarch and through the line of Judah. I mean, it just keeps on trucking, right? Even in the midst of two squabbling sisters, even in the midst of all kinds of bickering and backbiting and scheming and everything else, even in the midst of that, the gospel moves on. Amen? Now, did Jacob make some mistakes? Absolutely. Did Leah make some mistakes? Absolutely. Did Rachel make some mistakes? Absolutely. Do these boys growing up, are they going to make some mistakes? Absolutely. But you know what? They're all going to end up in Egypt, right? Moses is going to come along. I mean, it's all going to, they're going to cross the road. I mean, it's all coming. Amen? The gospel train is still on the tracks, right? And you're sitting here tonight saved because of the sovereignty of that God. Amen? You're sitting here saved tonight. You're going to miss, guess what? You're going to miss a place called hell because of the sovereignty of that God if you're saved tonight. Amen? That God is sovereign. He chose you. He chose this way. He made this path. And praise God, we're part of it. Amen? Yeah, we're part of it tonight. Amen. Well, let's close it with that. 12 kids. I'm just raising four, but just reading about 12 of them wears you out. Amen? I mean, it just wears you out thinking about the 12. Coming from a family of 11. Wow. Locked you out of the house. She locked you out. Huh? Yeah. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll get on down the road. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight. Thank You, Lord, that we can be in Your Word, Lord, and go through a passage filled with so many names and twists and turns and different things going on, Lord. A lot to keep up with, a lot to try to grasp and get a hold of, Lord. But the main thing we see tonight, Lord, is that You're faithful, that You're sovereign, that You are gracious and merciful. And Lord, even when we are at our worst, You are still at Your best. Lord, and You see it through. And Lord, we're thankful for Jesus tonight. And the history of the gospel here as we studied in Genesis, we're thankful for that. Be with us now tonight, Lord, as we go through this time of prayer. Help us, Lord, discern and figure out how we ought to pray. Bring those requests to mind that we need to make. And Lord, as we pray together, may we agree together to continually lift these up before You. We thank You for all that You're going to do. Thank You for this ministry of prayer. It's in Your name. Amen. All right. We got Charles Goodson we need to put on the prayer list. Brother